The word of God given to us today is Psalm chapter 119, verses 113 to 120. Allow me to be the words of God. I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their delusions come to nothing. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. Amen. After God created the earth, he saw what he had created and said that it was good. But even the creation that seemed good in God's eyes started to change due to the disobedience of Adam and Eve. People's biological function changed and their lifestyles changed. Moreover, the land that people resided in also changed. Since thorny bushes and thistles started to appear on land, ecosystems also changed. Most of all, human hearts changed, and the world was now in a grave situation. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 testifies such situation. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. All of the plans made by human hearts were always evil. As evilness actualized, wickedness filled the world. By this stage, the goodness that God has seen in his creation did not last. Genesis chapter 6 verse 6 testifies the status of God's heart. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. God's heart was troubled. God created humans to have free will and feelings in God's image. But would he have expected that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart would be evil? God wanted people to obey the Creator God and live in goodness in the world that God had created to be good in his eyes. However, as every thought that people had was evil, and actions taken based on those thoughts led to a world filled with sins, God lamented that he had created them and decided to wipe away everything on earth. The change in human hearts led to the change in God's heart. What people harbor in their hearts can change the destination and also their lives. People that have evil in their hearts result in not only themselves, but also people around them to face trouble. When the Pharaoh of Egypt did not listen to Moses, not only the Pharaoh, but also his army and his people faced great losses due to 10 disasters and drowned in the waters of the Red Sea. When David did not completely trust God and became arrogant, conducting a census of the country, an infectious disease spread throughout the country, and many people died. As so, what we house in our hearts decides the scenario of our lives. God speaks to us through Proverbs. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We have to guard our heart, but what guards our heart? Since the source of life flows from the heart, then guarding our heart is the same as not letting evil control our hearts, right? To not allow evilness to take hold of our hearts, then we have to keep the word of God. God instructs us through Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Only when we keep God's words can we guard our hearts. The poet of Psalm 119 knew well what kind of heart he must keep. Let's look at verse 113. I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. Double-minded people are also translated as vain thoughts, bent thoughts, those who are not loyal, and transgressors in other versions of the Bible. The original form of this word means to split. When you translate it with a pronoun, then it becomes people with divided hearts. The Korean Bible translated this word as double-minded people. Those double-minded people are in contrast to people who have firmly determined to keep the word and people who guard their hearts to keep the word. So double-minded people are people with hearts that are divided between keeping the word of God and something else. Thus, one part of the heart is headed towards God, but the other part is directed towards the world. It is noteworthy that double-minded people are not people who do not know God at all, but those that have experienced the goodness, the grace of God. God rebuked people who worship God and Baal with divided hearts through prophet Elijah, and those who were rebuked were Israelites. God also rebuked people who keep God and Baal in their hearts through Ezekiel, Hosea, and other prophets. Those people were also Israelites. They had experienced the grace of God more than any other ethnic groups. If they did not know God, then they could not have been double-minded people. Those who are double-minded people are those that know God. Then, why will people who know God have two hearts? Let's read verse 113 again. I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. Before we answer this question, the poet says that he hates double-minded people. But we learned that we should love others. It is not right to be double-minded, but we may wonder whether it is okay to hate double-minded people. Then we may think that the poet's confession suggests that we should not hate people, but hate sin. When we say that we should not hate sinners, but hate sin, doesn't it offer a lesson that we should not commit sins? Through the confession that he hates double-minded people, the poet of today's scripture is stating his will that he hates double-mindedness and will not become a double-minded person, rather than saying that he hates such people. We can interpret it as so because the poet confesses that he loves God's law right after he says, I hate double-minded people. How can a person that loves God's law hate people, though he may hate sins? The poet learned the reason why one may be double-minded could be due to not loving God's law. The characteristic of double-minded people is not loving God's law. If one loves God's law, then he cannot be double-minded. If we know God and experienced the grace of God, but do not love God's law, then our hearts become divided, and another heart takes place at the corner of our hearts. The other heart is directed towards God, towards the world, and if it truly loves the world. During the time of Joshua, Israel promised to offer everything in the city of Jericho to God. But Achan ignored the promise for this offering and stole a Babylonian robe, gold, and silver. If Achan loved God's law, then he would not have stolen the robe, gold, and silver. If Judas the Iscariot loved God's law, then he would have not sold his teacher for money. Like so, even after experiencing the grace of God, if you don't love God's word, then you can become double-minded and become an enemy of God. Hebrews testifies about this. Who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to his public disgrace. Those who have fallen away are people who have tasted the goodness of the word of God, but are double-minded. In the time of the letter of Hebrews, the recipients of the letter were trying to compromise with reality due to the difficult situation they were facing. At the time, Jewish Christians would not have faced hardships and criticisms if they compromised with reality. The writer of the letter of Hebrews is telling those who are contemplating to not be double-minded. We should not forget that if our hearts are divided regarding compromising with the evil evil reality, then it is the same as putting Jesus on the cross and publicly defaming the name of Jesus. If we do not love the word of God, then we start to doubt and our hearts waver. There is a promise to those who believe in the word of God. When one does not have faith in God's promise, then he starts to doubt and hearts start to waver, even when he faces a minor difficult situation. James rebukes such people in James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. James chapter 1, verse 6 explains who is that person who doubts and is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. A person who doubts is a double-minded person. Doubts cause our hearts to waver. When would the heart waver the most? When one is in a difficult situation, like nowadays. When one does not trust God entirely, then doubts arise and one finds something else to rely on. Whether it is money, people, or some idol that seems to have spiritual power, the person tries to find something to trust. Double-minded person is similar to a person who takes two masters. But Jesus says that it is impossible to have two masters, because either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despite the other. Whether it is money or power, you cannot serve both God and the world. The things of the world are mechanisms of life, but they cannot be the purpose or the object of service. James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us that double-mindedness comes from not being near God. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. To purify double-minded people, we need to purify them, as Jesus tells us. To unify hearts that are divided between doubt and faith, world and God, we have to clarify the heart with the Word of God. In the scripture of today's service, the poet of Psalm confesses that he hates double-minded people and loves the Word of God to indicate that only the Word of God can purify our hearts and unify divided hearts into one. Another key feature of double-minded people is that they did not think of God as shelter and the shield. Let's look at verse 1:14. You are my refuge and my shield. I put my hope in your word. It is a confession that shows the status of the poet. He faced intense sufferings and was risking his life and was placed in front of the snare of evildoers. So he dearly needed a shelter and a shield. While to hope means to wait and to expect, it can also mean to trust. A person who trusts in the word of God can confess that God is his refuge and his shield. To know whether you're double-minded or not, You can think about where you hide in a difficult situation. And you can think about how or with what you block yourself from difficult things in life. The poet protected himself by hiding in God, his shelter, and taking God as his shield. In other words, the poet realized that God was not a tool, but had offered shelter and also became our shield. Do you need a shelter now in this stressful and loud world? Do you need a shelter from those who bother you? Then look at the Word of God and reflect upon the Word of God, the Bible. Then God will tell you how God becomes our shelter and shield. A shelter is a secret place, a safe place for you to hide from those who try to harm you. Needs to be a secret place that is difficult to reach. During the period of persecution, underground caves or tunnels and cliffs were used as shelters. Where would be a good place to hide nowadays? I'm not sure whether there are people who want to escape from difficult reality and leave. If you're far away from the person who bother you or from the work, would your heart be content? If that shelter becomes our place to hide, then it is another route to trouble. We're living among many different people, whom include family, relatives, friends, neighbors, and colleagues. Some of them may be atheists, and others may be evil. At a place where we face such people or share the same space with them, God hides us in a remote place as we do for hide and seek, and protect us. In the present, our shelter is not in an underground cave or a tunnel at a rugged precipice, but in the heart that trusts in God. When I face those who harass me or in the same place with them, God who is with me becomes my shelter. Is there a time when God was not with us? Didn't God tell us that He will be with us until the end? While God is always with us, if we do not recognize that God that is with us, we may mistakenly think that God is far away. God accepted us as children through the blood of His only Son, Jesus Christ. If you are God's children, then why would God not be with us? The confession that God is my shelter and refuge reflects the absolute trust in God. The third characteristic of double-minded people can be seen through verse 115. Interestingly, verse 115 is not a prayer or a confession to God, but a command to evildoers. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Through this command to evildoers, the poet shows firm determination to keep the words of God. Who are evildoers? Based on what the poet has confessed thus far, evildoers are people who have tortured the poet and trapped him, threatening his life. Then why would the poet command them to be away from him? The poet's command may be telling them, "Do not torture me and leave." But another way of thinking about it could be a refusal to the suggestion of evildoers. Evildoers may have enticed the poet to compromise with reality. According to Numbers 25, the scripture for last Wednesday Bible study, after Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness since Exodus, they were about to enter the land God had promised them. They were staying at the east of Jordan River at Shittim when evildoers of Moab came to them. Israelites should have firmly refused the suggestion of Moab's evildoers, but they did not and became double-minded. They committed sins together and participated in the worship to the Baal of Peor. As a result, an infectious disease came upon them and 24,000 people died. The third characteristic of double-minded people is that they are unable to refuse evildoers and stay near them. Evildoers of today's scripture may also have come to the poet and make a suggestion for him to be double-minded and not trust and believe in God. We can make such a guess because the poet confesses in the latter part that he will keep the commands of God. As I explained earlier, double-minded people are not those who do not know God at all. They're people who rely on something else, even though they know God and have experienced the grace of God. In today's churches and spiritual communities, evildoers also come in contact. They entice children of God who are united at heart to be double-minded. The world does not leave children of God alone. They try to have them stumble. Evildoers try to justify their evil deeds by approaching children of God and suggesting them to construct evil deeds and not abide by the words of God. So they try to normalize evil by having everyone become evildoers. If evilness becomes normal, then such community, society, or nation has already fallen. But God is determined. The heart of God is delivered by Isaiah in chapter 31, verse 2. He does not take back his words. He will rise up against that wicked nation, against those who help evildoers. God rises up against evildoers and those who help evildoers. So we should not be close to evildoers. If you're close to them, you will become double-minded and eventually leave God. So the poet had commanded them to leave. Let us also command evildoers to leave us as the poet did. Only then we can be single-minded instead of being double-minded. Today, we thought about the characteristics of double-minded people through three verses of the poet's confession. The poet hated double-mindedness. The poet confessed that God is his shelter and shield and wanted to be far from evildoers. The poet could confess and command such things because he loved, hoped, and wanted to keep the word of God. The world never ceases to entice us to keep two hearts. If we do not want to be double-minded, then we need to love, hope, and abide by the word of God. No matter how difficult the situation is, we have to completely trust the word of God and be confident that God is my shelter and shield. We should not fall into the ideology, opinions, and values of evildoers that approach us in many forms, and rather command them to leave me. Let's be single-minded by keeping only God and the Word of God in our hearts, despite all the difficulties and temptations. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for creating people in God's image and goodness. But the creation that seemed good in the eyes of God became evil due to the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and people started to plan evil all the time. This led your heart to be troubled. Forgive us for knowing this, but not living a life distinguished from it. Help us to guard our hearts so that we are not double-minded. May we love, hope, and keep the word of God so that we can guard our hearts. In tough situations, may we not seek shelter in an underground cave or a tunnel in a precipice to avoid reality, but rather remember that God, who is with me, is my shield. Help us to be far from evildoers. Help us to be far from evildoers that tell us to compromise with reality, and also away from their hearts, their thoughts, ideologies, and values. May families of faith, spiritual communities, church, and nations not face hardships by being double-minded. May the 100th anniversary Memorial Church take God as its only Lord and be a church that loves, hopes for, and keeps the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.